The OneStream Global Education Services team proudly presents the OneStream Podcast with your host, Peter Fugere.
Greetings, fellow OneStreamers, and welcome to the OneStream Podcast, where we explore and examine all things OneStream, talk to experts in the industry, and gain knowledge from some of the brightest minds that help deliver and implement solutions for our clients. This episode is part of the OneStream Solutions series, where we explore marketplace solutions and ideas in and around CPM+. I'm your host, Peter Fugere, Chief Solutions Officer at OneStream Software. And as always, I'm grateful to welcome Sean Stocker, Jessica McAlpine. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hi, Peter.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
Yeah, welcome back. So, you know, this series, we're talking about the marketplace and how it's evolved. And now it's Solution Exchange. And really, you know, what it is, where we're going. So why don't we start with the Solution Network? Your group focuses on marketplace solutions. Is that right? How do you fit in with this, with the bigger team now?
Hi, Sean here. The marketplace is OneStream created solutions. We work and create those solutions internally in the OneStream development group.
Now, the marketplace has been for a long time. It's always been something, you know, you don't have to implement as part, but there are things you'd probably want to consider to implement. And they were things OneStream would offer, you know, as sort of the platform.
Yeah, exactly. So we are definitely focusing on very technical solutions that can help expand a customer's footprint. Think about planning solutions, closed solutions such as account reconciliations that are very specialized and require, you know, a lot of detail, product thought, engineering thought, et cetera. We're also focusing on solutions that we know will help our customers in terms of their administrative experience. So think of different reporting experiences, dashboards to help lead you to a landing page, et cetera, to help their experience as well.
Okay. So help me understand this. The Solution Network, when we had our first conversation with John and Terry, we talked really a lot about how they support the development community, right? And how they're trying to, especially around the partner place piece of this, help partners develop solutions that sort of bring their IP to the OneStream customers. But you guys, it's my understanding is, and I'm, you know, learning how this group's evolved, which has been amazing, how much just growth and enthusiasm and energy has gone into Solution Network. But you guys, you work more kind of as developers yourself, right?
Yeah, that's exactly true. We're this team, including Jessica's team, we work together to create solutions that go into the marketplace. We're also working to create standards that we share with the Solution Network team so that they can provide those to partners so that they can create best-in-class solutions as well.
What are you guys working on now? What kind of solutions are you developing now, and what can we look forward to seeing?
We've actually got a lot of solutions in the pipeline, and it's not just solutions that my team works on.
Sean's being a little modest about his team. These are all computer science majors. You know, these are true engineers who understand coding, et cetera. And they're doing the best in class, to his point, and helping making these standards. But we do also work collectively. So product team has, the product roadmap for all of OneStream. And that's not just marketplace. That is also the platform as well, to Sean's point. But what's really great is the way that these teams do work together. They help inform the platform direction as well, right? So he talked about transaction matching, for example, is going higher in volumes. Well, that's a platform capability that needs to be done. But once we get storage improvements for something like transaction matching, or even if it's, adding the dashboard development, whatever that looks like, it's the marketplace engineers who are informing the requirements that are needed for that continued development, because they are truly the experts because they have been building these solutions for so many years. So they are working closely with platform engineers and with us in product to define what is necessary to be added to the platform to continue to expand our footprint and to allow other developers such as partners to create new solutions themselves.
I like what you said there, platform direction. And another thing that sort of comes to mind that I've seen, like with the new version 8, there's so much new functionality around dashboards. And I've been working with a team, seeing them develop a sort of like a backbone for developing dashboards and working with that. And it's interesting. I mean, as the platforms evolving, maturing, and we're seeing all this new functionality, it makes sense what you guys are doing. You're helping sort of bridge that gap between some of our solutions and then, you know, sort of the, I don't know what the right word is, sort of the bones underneath that development's putting together and bringing those to bear in the marketplace. Is that a good summary?
Yeah, no, I think that's really great. And, you know, we do, to Sean's point again, we do have some developers who were previously just marketplace who are now also working in platform and helped create that, you know, the new componentry that came out with 8. And you talk about dynamic dashboards, for example, which came out with which came out recently. One of our developers who was in that, Mike Phipps, who's a genius.
Great guy.
Was one of the initial developers for transaction matching. He created one of the transaction matches pages using the new functionality he also helped to create. And I think there was, I want to say, hundreds of components in this initial dashboard, and he brought it down to like 50. And I wish I had the exact quotes of the numbers. But you think about how much that's going to improve all of our developers. And when I say developers, I don't mean just, you know, a true coder or whatever. Partners should really think about how much this can help them with implementations. You know, you don't have to be a quote unquote coder or whatever. Think about making a dashboard that's reusable that you're going to set up for every single implementation for planning or every single implementation for close. You have a standard dashboard because now you have this dynamic dashboard functionality and you don't have to recreate these components over and over because you've created a standard that you can then export and just use it for all of your implementations. It wasn't until I got on the field and started talking to different implementers about that they realized, oh, this does affect them too. It's not just if they want to create a brand new solution, it affects them as an implementer. So I think we need to focus that everyone's a developer on OneStream, right? You don't have to be a solution developer. If you're implementing or if you're doing anything, you're a developer and this will help you in your processes.
I agree with that, Jess. And like to that point, one of the new features that, again, future talking here, that we're adding into the Cloud Admin Tools is dynamic dashboarding, which will allow our cloud engineers to dynamically add functionality into Cloud Admin Tools without having to add another release or do an upgrade to your solution.
This is interesting. So when we talk about CPM, you know, there's specific sort of bespoke applications clients have us come in and set up and do. That's always been one of our strengths. But this seems like we're really sort of unleashing the power of the platform here. And what we're doing is we're doing true development.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. It's opened up the doors for not only my team and other development teams within the OneStream organization, but it's making it so much easier for partners to create as well. We saw that with the creation of PartnerPlace this year and just some of the exciting things that they're doing in PartnerPlace.
So we talked a little bit about the roadmap, and we'll let Jessica hedge here in a little bit if she wants to. But you could think of like a million directions, you know, customers have questions, concerns, new reporting requirements from things that are getting really established now, like ESG, to things like lease holdings that's been out for a while, or, you know, currency hedging apps, you know, that people might use. How do you guys come up with a roadmap and sort of prioritize across these different solutions? And tell me how that roadmap development works. Like, how do you prioritize it? What goes into it? What's the process like?
Yeah. That's the most fun part of the job and the hardest part of the job, right? So we work very closely with key stakeholders throughout our organization and constantly have check-in sessions to say, what are you hearing in the market? Where are we missing? And we have these focus group type sessions with our key stakeholders. Additionally, we do have a portal called IdeaStream that we are looking at constantly as well. We always like to include in each release at least one or two, you know, enhancements that come from IdeaStream. Those aren't usually where we get big solution ideas, though. Those are just enhancements to current existing solutions, but that does go on the overall tracking as well.
The IdeaStream, that's interesting. We've talked about that before, but how do people get access to that if they have, you know, they have an idea? And maybe it could, and maybe let's talk about the ideas that come in on that. Do they have to be big picture, you know, big solutions, or what are the things, how do people get access to IdeaStream, and what do you hope they submit when they go in there?
They access it via One Community. So once you have your One Community access, you go through IdeaStream. We have different, just like we have different domain leads for the different product areas, like I talked about, we have different sections in IdeaStream based on domain. So if you had an idea for a people planning enhancement, you'd go into the planning section. You can search on the different ideas. I would always advise customers to first search if their idea exists, because we do look at counts of votes, because customers and partners, whoever, can vote on an idea, and those with the highest votes we're obviously looking at, because those have the biggest interest, right? So you can also crowdsource if you want to reach out to some friends, you know, some other OneStream customers, go get them to vote. But no, they definitely don't have to be big ideas. Like I said, for each release, we're trying to add customer enhancements via IdeaStream. So those are going to be smaller ones. But then we all are also looking at bigger ideas. So if there was a brand new solution, those can definitely be submitted. But just know that obviously a big brand new solution is definitely going to take longer because of the research and development that goes into it, as opposed to, you know, changing the color from blue to gray, whatever, something like that.
One of the things I always recommend to customers is if you've got enhancements or modifications, let's say, to the solutions that you're using, so customizations that you've implemented in any of our solutions, I always recommend that you go out to One Community and put those out as an enhancement request for two reasons. It's going to make your life easier when we upgrade. If that solution enhancement is added into one of the existing solutions, you no longer have to make those changes every single release. And then two, other customers get the benefit of it. So it not only fixes your problem, but it spurs innovation within the marketplace. We see a feature and like, hey, that's cool. What if we did XYZ on top of that and added functionality? So it's always just improving your experience at the end of the day.
And could I go into IdeaStream and just look at solutions and vote on them if I didn't submit? I mean, could I just go through and like ideas? Yeah.
You are strongly encouraged to.
Most definitely.
Well, that's interesting. I think everyone, all the listeners, should definitely do that. Go check out IdeaStream and see what ideas are out there. That's pretty interesting. Well, let me ask you guys, do either one of you have a favorite solution in the marketplace?
Well, that's like your children. It depends on the day.
Sophie's choice, Jessica. You got to pick one.
Well,
all the other solutions go away.
It's hard. When I first started, I first was assigned to account reconciliations, and that is where I grew up. So that is, you know, my first baby.
Your first love.
Yeah. So I have to give it up for that solution. That's what I wrote the book on. So I guess that one wins.
All right. Sean, you're on a desert island, a deserted island, alone with an app, just one app. What would it be?
What everyone wants to bring to a deserted island is the marketplace solution.
It's you, a volleyball, and an app. What's your favorite app?
I'd have to go with the guided reporting suite and what it's evolving into.
Yeah.
It was my first solution that I worked on, actually back at Guardian Industries with Jessica.
Whoop, whoop.
You never forget your first solution, I guess, is my takeaway.
That's it, exactly. And it's evolved significantly since its first incarnation. I mean, Finit had created the solution for Guardian for reporting, and one of my first jobs here was to deconstruct it and add functionality for their forecast. And it's evolved since then, but I mean, it was always such a great experience being able to go through and just pick it apart. I mean, it's one of the things I really love about being able to work here, just learning new functionalities, dig in and learn it.
So let me ask you another question. I'm going to pivot a little bit. I'm, you know, my fastball has always been implementation. I always think about, you know, how, whenever I see something like, how would I get a client to adopt this? Like, should clients, when they go into the marketplace, how much of these solutions should they just try to take on themselves and implement themselves? And I'm asking, you know, should they always reach out to a partner and get help with a solution? Should they can they do some of these on their own? What's your advice on self-implementation of marketplace solutions?
So I think it definitely does depend. Peter, when you actually, I will never forget this. You came out on site to Guardian and taught us about Task. And I had never heard of it before. And I remember being like, oh my gosh, we need that. And my leader at the time was like, yeah, but it's not in the budget and it's too much work. There's a demo out on the Navigator, and it's actually a demo with myself and Kelly Darren, and we set up Task Manager in 20 minutes and have tasks running.
Wow.
So I do think it depends. I think what I would encourage customers is to look at the documentation first. Each solution has documentation attached to it. Check out the documentation. Something like Rex, even Rex, you might be able to do on your own if it's a basic reconciliation usage. But if you're setting up something like multi-currency and reconciliations, integrating transaction matching, et cetera, I would definitely recommend a partner in that instance because there's some best practices to follow and they would have more experience in that area. But it definitely is it depends type situation.
I totally agree with Jessica. And for example, the account rec solution where she's saying it depends. How complex is your implementation? But one of the things you can do is you can download that solution and try it out for yourself on one of your sample environments. So make a copy of production and start walking through the documentation and installing it. If it gets too complex for you, reach out to support or to services or a partner and say, hey, I'd like to get this implemented. We'll be happy to. But you have the opportunity to play with it on your own. It's not going to break your environment if you put it in a sample or a copy of your production application. It gives you that exposure to it, and you can see if it's too complex for you.
Let's talk about some other like platform development. You guys mentioned it before. I haven't really talked about it on the podcast very much, but I keep hearing about Bux. What is, for the listeners, what is Bux? What's that about? And it's B-U-X, right? Is that, do I have the spelling
B-U-X,
right?
You have it right.
What's it mean?
Bux is our browser UX, browser user experience. It is a web-based version of OneStream. You can access OneStream via any internet browser. And it's more focused toward an end user functionality. So it's a modern UI, modern dashboard, et cetera. But you can use it on any different computer. It's going to have your workflow as part of your browser UX. It does not include the administration end though. So
okay.
The administration is still going to be on your WinApp, but think about it from a planning user's perspective. You're on your iPad, you want to be able to enter the forms. I'm out on the plant and I want to go take a quick inventory, enter my forms, et cetera, submit. My CFO wants to see his dashboards. I can't tell you how many times I used to hear, I want to see the dashboards on my iPad. I want to see, yeah. I used to get that all the time. So, now they can just bring their iPad into their meetings and see all their pretty little dashboards and get the financial information. So that is where we're targeting now. Bux is going to continue to evolve. We're going to continue to grow Bux. We're also focusing, taking it back to browser or to marketplace really quick, on getting our Task Manager solution to work within Bux. Most of it does already, but there's some dashboard components that we need to make work within our browser UX, and we're planning to do that and be showing that for Splash as well. So think about it, Peter, like you talked about working through your clothes. Wouldn't you want to see your checklist on your iPad? So we're working to get Task Manager in Bux as well within this year. So some really exciting stuff for the end user.
What else is coming in the version 8 or what's been out that is really exciting or interesting and maybe more importantly impacting some of the stuff you're doing, Sean and Jess? What's going on out there with 8?
We were receiving from customers, they wanted some new enhancements, right? So we talked about IdeaStream. We saw some ideas coming through IdeaStream. Some of our key stakeholders in the company were saying they were talking to customers. Eric Osmansky, shout out to you. You have been pushing for journal enhancements, but just some other different key stakeholders in the company were asking for it. So we did a lot of different enhancements to journals in the 8.0 release. I have never presented at Splash and had oohs and ahs, but we showed the descriptions were added to the dimensionality on journals, and all of the Berlin users in that room oohed and ahed, and that was a first for me. So it was very exciting, just that description. But definitely read, there's what's new courses for each platform release, again, on Navigator, so you can check out all the new functionality. But journals was definitely a big release. In 8.2, which is coming out this spring, So our next release, you're going to see some wonderful narrative reporting stuff coming out. So that's going to be a big focus for us at Splash. We'll be going over that. But really, how you interact with a report, think about it. If a planning user has a large document and they want to say, hey, Sean, can you check this document? Look at this information on the balance sheet. Does this look right? Real-time changes in there, and those will then be communicated back. So being able to interact with different reports will be coming out, and that's some very exciting stuff. Again, we were hearing that a lot from different prospects on the market, and we're really excited to be pushing that coming up. Then you're going to continue to see enhancements. Also, from a customer's perspective, if you haven't moved to 8.0 yet, I highly suggest you do, especially if you're a consolidation user. So 8.0 has a lot of implications from a performance standpoint. We are seeing customers having consolidation times reduced by anywhere from 20 to 30%, which is, that's a big jump. So if you haven't upgraded to 8 yet, I highly suggest you do. Reach out to your CSM. They are the first step to get into the upgrade process. I know a lot of you are probably in close right now, and I understand that. So it's not, you got to wait a little bit until the year end close is done, but you're definitely going to see some improvements. Same with our solutions. We're continuing to work on performance improvements. For example, Application Control Manager, ACM, is our metadata management tool. That release just came out, and that is also seeing performance times, I think they've improved by 80%, which is just outstanding. So we're continuing to look at performance.
Let me call that out. So, I mean, beyond 8, I mean, this, you know, this, hopefully this podcast lives forever on the internet. But, you know, when we talk about OneStream, I think it's really important to stay on always the latest version. I mean, a lot of what we're talking about today and the work you guys are doing, you know, bringing the platform enhancements together with marketplace improvements and solutions, you've got to have that underlying functionality, that those enhancements to the platform to take advantage of that, right? So
exactly,
it behooves anyone to be on the latest version, I would think.
100%. And, you know, the upgrade process is very minimal to upgrade. I understand the tie-outs. Customers want to tie out. But we are continuing on the marketplace side to, like I said earlier, the platform is being driven for enhancements by marketplace as well, not just by customers, right? So we are going to continue to take advantage of those improvements, whether that's volume storage or whether that's, you know, Sean will talk about what the marketplace team is implementing. But in order to do that, we have to move solutions to the latest version as well. So you're going to continue to see solutions move up to 8 plus versions to take advantage of that new functionality. And Sean, I'll let you talk about what the marketplace team specifically has been taking on with those platform improvements.
Yeah, starting like late last year, like maybe mid last year, we started working on this workspace concept. And it's an encapsulation of your dashboard. So you're used to going from the main application screen within OneStream, clicking dashboards, and you see all your development, all the solutions that are out there. Now you have workspaces. You no longer see dashboards. Dashboards are part of a workspace. And this is a new platform feature guided towards developer experience. And that's a lot of what we're focusing on, not only in the marketplace and in the platform, with my team working with the platform team to creating these new functions, new functionality. This workspace concept is an encapsulation of a solution, because previously you'd look at a solution, it's just an XML file, and you have your dashboards, your business rules, your components. Well, now you can have dashboard workspaces that have dashboard groups, dashboard maintenance units, multiple dashboard maintenance units. And within each of those, you have assemblies, which are business rules that are broken down into multiple pieces. And what that's doing is that's enabling my team, as well as partner developers, any developer really, to have a larger group of people working on the same business rules at the same time. And I'll go into that a little bit. So when we're developing on business rules, it's a large 20, 30,000 line file, and it's got multiple functions in it. And you've got, when you have multiple developers trying to work on that same file at the same time, you're stepping on each other when you're checking the code in. So I may change one set part of the rule, and Mike Phipps may change another part of the rule and we both check it in, well, my check-in overwrites his check-in and vice versa. So by breaking this into smaller pieces, it allows each developer to work on a certain function, check that in without having to impact everybody else's code. So it allows us to work faster and allows partners to work faster as well. So we're developing these processes with the platform team, adding the functionality that we need so that we can be more productive, we can add more value to the customer in a quicker manner. So these workspaces that we're taking advantage of, they have these new assemblies, which are business rules broken into pieces. They have queue views now incorporated in them. So now your solutions have your queue views built in instead of off on their own in the queue view section of OneStream. And we're continuing to add this functionality, and to gain advantage of that functionality, you have to be on the latest releases. So every time platform adds new functionality, we're taking it into our solutions. That means we have to be on that latest release to use it.
I like to think of a workspace as the, you know, if you have a gift basket, it's the Saran wrap around the gift basket. It holds all the pieces together of a solution. Like Sean said, that's queue views, that's dashboards, that's business rules, you know, all those different components, et cetera, and making them reusable. But it's holding it all together, and it's going to let you move those solutions easily between different environments as well. But also I wanted to highlight, you know, the queue views have already moved under the Workspaces page. And Peter, to your point, not only is it important to get all that new functionality, but it's also important for your journey. And why do I give that example? You know, when we talked with engineering, they're like, okay, we're going to move queue views. And our initial reaction product was, especially me, I only lived in the queue views page. I'm like, you take away that queue views page from me, you're taking away my right arm. Because that's where I lived. So we need to help, you know, move our users to this queue view page. That also started with allowing filtering to find specific areas of a workspace. We've added that as well because we want that user experience to be clean. But eventually that queue views page will go away. And we're doing it in a piecemeal way. First, adding it to workspaces and still having the queue views page because we don't want everyone to, you know, panic that their right arm is gone. But we are trying to take them on that journey. And if you move from a version, let's say 6 and jump right into, I don't know, 3 versions up, whatever that is, you're going to see a lot of changes, and that's going to be difficult to adjust if you're not moving along with us, is what I would say.
Well, guys, another great discussion. We've said it all. Thank you so much for bringing your expertise to the podcast today. And thank you, fellow OneStreamers, for joining us. Remember, if you like this content, please don't forget to subscribe. We'd love to hear from you. Questions, comments, or concerns, please reach out at podcast@onestreamsoftware.com. I look forward to bringing you another exciting podcast. And until then, take care, and I'll see you next time on the OneStream Podcast.
The OneStream Podcast is brought to you by the OneStream Global Education Services team.